Welcome back to Broken Fuse Podcast. It's episode 13, so yeah, let's get it rolling, I guess. We have Harley here today.
Hello.
And we have a guest podcaster here today as well. We have Peter Nguyen here tonight. Yeah, let's get it rolling. Yeah. It's November 27th today, so yeah. What have you guys been playing recently, Peter?
Final Fantasy 13, I guess. Good graphic. Good. Innovative gameplay.
How about you, Harley?
I just got off writing exams, so I haven't really been playing anything. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to playing that.
Yeah, you kind of got cut off there, so...
Oh, sorry about that. Just said that I just got Left 4 Dead today, so I'm probably going to be playing that for the next while.
Yeah, with myself, I've been playing a bit of a Chrono Trigger DS between classes. A bit of Metroid Other M, but besides that, not too much else right now. Yeah, I guess we'll get started off with some of the stuff that's going on in the gaming world. We have On Live coming out, I think, in early December, which On Live is basically something similar to Steam, but it's like a small device under your that you plug into your TV, and it's cloud-based gaming. So what do you guys think about cloud-based gaming coming into our living rooms now?
Go ahead, Holly.
Okay, so first off, I'd like to talk about price. I think that given that it's, you know, it's a $100 investment plus and then some, I don't know if that is necessarily what people are looking for cloud-based gaming. I mean, Steam is, the platform itself is free, and so are a lot of other cloud-based systems. And with OnLive, you got to have an initial investment, which is almost like buying a console. So I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, it said that it's going to be $99, so that and... whether you have to buy the game and how much the game each game costs, it's not something you want to look at if you're that kind of gamer.
Yeah, it's the same deal with me. I'd rather spend that money on an existing console that I know that's worth getting, like the ones that are from the big three at least. Plus, like, I'm already on Steam, so... it's an extra $100 for hardware that I don't need at the moment. Anything else from you guys?
No, I just want to say that, you know, relative to other systems like Steam or like even compared to Netflix, right? I mean, it's just so expensive. The initial investment is a lot of money for a lot of people. And, you know, with consoles being really cheap nowadays, like an Xbox is like $150, right? I mean, I don't know if that's going to sell.
Yeah. I guess we'll move on to our next thing, which is Netflix in the States. Now, has a disc-free streaming plan like we have in Canada for $8. The thing is the unlimited disc plans have gone up $1 each for each tier that it has for the disc plans.
Well, Netflix, yeah, have a lot of, I only see it's good for like movie, but I, since I don't have a console myself, I can't really say that I'm gonna be using it for anything else except movies.
Yeah, you actually don't need a console to use Netflix. It can stream off of your computer, actually.
It's not good. It's not good for me. My computer sucks, so I can't say that it's good for me.
No, I understand. Like, you know, a lot of people really can't get around to using Netflix because they don't have, you know, they don't have the right access to it. But at the same time, I think in the U.S., right, I mean, they're just screwing them over because before, but now you have to pay a dollar more, right? So yeah. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out with subscribers, but I'm pretty sure that most people are going to choose disc free, because there really is no point in having, like, it's really slow, and I'm pretty sure most people have high speed internet nowadays.
Yeah, it's not like because all of the big box stores like Blockbusters that do rent videos, they're like, it's like a dying niche right now. There's not too many people that want to use that kind of service, like a physical big box store for video rentals these days.
Yeah, and it's you know, and it's in the States, so for us it doesn't really make a difference. All I'm really looking forward to is Netflix getting more content, so that, you know, Canadian viewers can see what you know, have access to what American viewers have.
Yeah, and for the Canadian viewers, I think the 1 month free, you have to sign up before the end of this year, before that promotion expires, actually. Don't quote me on it right now. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think it ends December 31st of 2010 for any Canadian people that are interested in getting that free month of Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, that is some incentive, but at, you know, $7 a month, paying an extra $7 is not really that much of a, it's not that big a deal. I think the main thing is for them to get the right content, and right now it's still lacking. I mean, they have a lot of shows that are just not on there, and it's really disappointing.
Well, that's because we're living in Canada. And...
No, I know. Wait, Netflix is by far the best service for, like, that we have. That's, nothing really comes close to it in Canada, but I mean, it's just, it's what they get in the States for pretty much the same price. It's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, I guess it's for most of us that don't have Netflix, it's just a waiting game of when they have enough content to really jump in and get it, getting the service.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess that wraps it up for Netflix, and we'll move on to some other stuff. There was actually a $3,000 bounty on Kinect's first open source hack, and it's already been awarded to a hacker that got around to it. And it can actually could actually become a PC and Mac accessible in the future, which I hope it does, because it's a piece of technology that should be already available for PC and Macintosh, and not just locked down to the 360.
But the thing is that the company, that the Xbox company, they don't want it for working with other
devices,
machines, system.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, a lot of people want to use that same technology for other stuff, like PC applications or whatever, what have you.
Well, I think, you know, this is one of those things where you're buying hardware, you're not buying software, so you have the right to do whatever you want with that piece of equipment. So I think it's and besides, it's really going to be hard to control people on how they use their Kinect. Some hacks are always going to be around, and if you've seen the YouTube videos of people posting stuff with, like, lightsabers and whatever, it's really cool. I mean, like, Kinect on the PC would be phenomenal. Video program or video editing program. I mean, you could really, really make some really cool movies with Kinect.
Yeah, especially with the face recognition software that's already built into Kinect as it is. Like, you can probably do something else with it as well.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is, like, right now, it's only been out for how long, and it's been hacked for the PC, it's been hacked for the Mac. I mean, it's pretty much been, everything's been done that can be done. So, I mean, you're just looking at better software integration in the future, and I don't really see why Microsoft would try to stop people from doing this, because it would drive the sales of Kinect up anyways, right? Because it's not like they're losing software sales. It's just, you know, they're selling more hardware, and I think it's a bonus for them.
Well, maybe they're afraid that they won't be selling as much Xbox 360.
The Kinects for PC and Mac they're not going to buy them for an Xbox anyways, because they're doing video editing and stuff like that, which the Xbox can't do. So, I mean, it's hard to... I don't think, you know, personally, if someone's going to use a Kinect for a PC, I don't think, like, you know, if they couldn't use it, they would have bought an Xbox, because an Xbox, it only works for games. It doesn't really do anything else.
Yeah, it's, like, besides games and, like, Netflix, there's not too much other use for 360. Yeah, which brings us to our, which is a nice segue for our next thing, is Microsoft actually needs to pay people to actually buy Kinect in Japan, and it fails to move substantial new units of the 360 as well.
Xbox 360 never been well.
It never really took off of the shelves in Japan in the first place, so it's kind of expected.
The sale margin is only one third of that of the PS3. So I wouldn't expect a lot of hype going out in Japan for the Kinect.
Yeah.
Well, for them to pay people to buy the Kinect, I mean, it's kind of pathetic. And I really don't know how that's going to work out in the long run, because the Japanese have always supported the PlayStation more so than any other console. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. It's just, you know, their way of life. And it's just, you know, it's just how their market works. I mean, think about it. The PlayStation has so many games that are released over there that aren't released over here. So there's a huge incentive to go PlayStation well before. Really going to hurt the sales for Kinect.
Yeah. Plus, like, if you've looked at the sales in Japan, the two Japanese companies which produce, Nintendo and Sony, there's a clear margin between that and the sales of Microsoft's 360, actually. Which is not really surprising, because they're kind of patriotic in a way with their hardware sales, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even patriotic. It's just they get so much more support. I mean, they have access to more games than anyone else in the world for PlayStation, right? And on top of that, for them, I think there's Xboxes over there are selling for more than they're selling over here. So, I mean, there's a significant price difference, and it's the same with some. You know, in Japan, apparently, their average gaming age, like the average age for a gamer there, is like much older than it is over here. So, I mean, that might have something to do with sales of Xboxes versus PlayStation 3.
Yes, it's partially due to the age, like the age gap. I guess we'll move on to our next thing, which is Call of Duty Black Ops and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood recently came out, and they've been doing pretty well. I think those are one of the top 10 games are for those two, for the 360 and the PS3 right now as well, like for Game of the Year, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. They're getting... it's you know, it's very popular. It's going to do really well. Call of Duty, you know, Black Ops is going to take over where Modern Warfare 2 left off. The online is just... it's crazy, and there's going to be a lot of players getting on that.
I guess, but there's a lot... there seems to be a lot of problem with it. Like, the AI, it still isn't nowhere near where it's supposed to be.
There was a bit of problems with, I think, the PS3 version of Black Ops, but they've been going through bug stomping for it right now and getting it a patch out pretty soon. From what I've
heard. I'm not worried about, you know, where the game. They're definitely going to have a lot of support and, you know, updating and patches. These things are all expected with games. And on top of that, I think, you know, it's just the brand that's going to sell it. I mean, people are going to buy the game whether it has problems or not. I mean, there's a reason why it's like one of the top selling games on Steam, even though, I mean, we're having sales on like pretty much every other game on Steam and people are still buying Black Ops at full price. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's bad. Every game has some sort of glitch or problem. But Call of Duty, the main thing is that the multiplayer is great. Nobody's gonna worry about the campaign as much as the multiplayer aspect of it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, you know, hardcore players are still going to stick with, you know, it's more polished, it's more refined. But I think eventually in the future, everybody's going to switch on over to Black Ops. It's kind of inevitable.
Yeah. I guess we're kind of wrapping up what we have for Black Ops right now. Next thing is that Hulu Plus, which previously was a PSN Plus exclusive, is now available to all U.S. Users right now, which is great because it's another video service opened up for all the users down there.
Yeah, but it's not opened up for users up here.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you know, the U.S., they get access to all sorts of movies, TV shows for really cheap. And, you know, when we get the same service, you know, we get screwed over with like half the shows that they get over there. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I've been holding off on getting Netflix, because I just feel like the selection is so low and it's not, I mean, there is a lot of movies and TV shows. It's just very few of them are ones I care about. That's really the issue here.
Well, the U.S. have a lot larger population than Canada, so I could see why they get those things for, you know, free for advertisement purposes and whatnot.
No, I understand that, but even if they, like, I'd be willing to pay double of whatever it is right now if they offered the same selection. It's just, I mean, I just don't get it. Like, I understand they have to buy like copyright or whatever from various owners or from various studios, but I don't understand why it's taking so long to get some like really pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they are trying to wait until the target audience in Canada show itself.
Like, yeah, you're probably right.
Since something that new just came out, they are not going to have like a lot of people sign
yeah,
up.
So, yeah, it, yeah. So. They're just waiting for more people to sign up and then they'll get more stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's like, probably yeah. That makes sense because then they'll have more money and, you know, they can buy more stuff. And I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, but then like you said, you're not going to want to sign up for that. That kind of service, if they don't have it in the first place, so
I know they're stuck in a different. I don't know. It's a difficult question. It's just you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, talking about waiting, the wait for Gran Turismo 5 is actually finally over. It's been finally released on November 24th.
Oh, so they say.
It's out actually. It's out in the.
Yeah, I actually saw it in the stores today.
It's in the wild these days now. It's in the wild.
Yeah. But the thing is, again, you know, when you're getting one of these driving simulators, please buy the wheel. I mean, it's just playing it on the controller is fun, but it's just not the same.
I know. It's a great simulator in the past, it's shown itself that it got all the great cars, license, what and whatnot. You just need the component to play it with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm all for playing racing games with a controller, but I only like playing arcade kind of racing games with a controller with a wheel. I think, you know, with a driving simulator, sorry. I think it's much better with a wheel. It's just, that's what it's kind of meant for. It's a simulator, right?
Yeah, there's no two ways of playing it. Like, the only other, like, it's not a driving sim. It's like a kart racing, which we've all played. It's Mario Kart. It does have that kart feeling to it with a Wii wheel, which was introduced, I think, in 2008 when it came out. 2007 or 2000. Yeah, it was 2008 when it came out with the Wii wheel bundled with the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime you can get a wheel, it's always a good thing. But with GT5, I mean, it would be in your interest definitely to pick up a wheel, even a cheap one. I mean, it's just, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, making a difference. Viacom has actually put up Rock Band developer Harmonix up for sale, which is kind of surprising.
Aren't they making enough money?
Isn't Harmonix the same company that made Guitar Hero and then ran off to make Rock Band?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what they're doing again, right? I mean, it's almost the same gig, and I don't know. I think Rock Band and Guitar Hero and these kinds of games, I think they really hit a kind of a plateau. I mean, right now, all they're coming up with is just new songs and, you know, expansion packs. There's nothing groundbreaking about these companies anymore or about their products anymore. Everybody has it. It's just, you know, it's the same thing. So I don't know how they're going to make money. I don't know how they're going to, you know, sell new stuff, but
They actually are doing that right now with Rock Band 3. They've got added a keyboard, physical keyboard, a real guitar with the strums, like the
I saw the commercial. I saw the commercial, but it's just not, it's not really the not the same thing. It's not the same impact as, like, you know, when Guitar Hero first came on and it was just,
when it was big. Like, right now, like, Rock Band graphics has taken, like, a right turn, and they're going with a more realistic kind of avatars, while Guitar Hero is using, like, a more, like, cartoony feel to it.
Yeah, no, I understand, and I think, you know, they're going to sell well within their Rock Band and Guitar Hero brands. But for them to come up with something new, I don't know what they could come up with. I mean, I guess that's part of the game, right? They're going to come up with something crazy and we're all going to buy it again. But right now, as it stands, I don't really see. I mean, even if you sell a guitar with strings and all, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be, a game-changing decision that I would throw away my old Rock Band.
Yeah, because it's another, like, $150, $200 investment to get the whole set. With,
like, yeah, it's drums, expensive.
Keyboard,
right? Yeah.
And everything added in. Like, right now I have, I don't have Rock Band, but I do have a Guitar Hero World Tour, and it was around, like, $150, $200, like, a few years ago.
Yeah, like, yeah, I have Guitar Hero as well, and it's, you know, it's definitely, it's a pretty big investment, and when you have, like, real guitars, then it's going to be even more expensive.
Yeah. I guess the next thing we have is Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has a release date. It's February 15th, 2011. A couple new characters that they have on right now is She-Hulk, Mega Man Zero, and those are the two characters that are on the disc. Jill Valentine from Resident Evil is confirmed for as downloaded content.
Well, there's nothing new about these games coming out with new character, really.
Yeah, it's mainly the game itself. like
how they have developed.
Yeah, I don't really care about I don't really care about the characters. No, so you go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the gameplay with Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Since the last versus Capcom game that I got was Tatsunoko versus Capcom on the Wii. And it's a pretty tight gameplay on there as well. So I'm looking forward to getting this when it comes out next year.
Yeah, me too. I think it's, you know, I'm always up for Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah. Especially with our generation that grew up in the arcades playing games like this, Mortal Kombat, and all the other
games.
Yeah,
the quarter machines.
Yeah. Those things eat your quarters like it's nobody's business.
Yo, but now it's apparently like a dollar now to play, so like it's like four times the price.
Yeah, it's totally not worth it anymore.
Yeah, you know, just go home and play.
Stay away from the arcade.
Yeah, I guess we'll go on to there are PSP2 images that are running around the internet these days again. Looks something similar to the PSP Go, but with knob sticks.
The look of it doesn't look appealing to me, seriously.
Yeah, same here. It's like I'm not digging the PSP Go look right now. But they say it's an outdated model, and the newer kits don't have that same slide-out screen. And it uses something similar to the form factor of the original PSP.
I don't know. I mean, with speculation, I always think, like, people will talk about this until the day of release, and then or day of announcement. And then they're going to realize exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, hopefully that they will choose something that has a better design to it than what they chose for the PSP Go. Because it's a little, like in my opinion, it's not the greatest design for the PSP Go with the form factor. It's a little small.
Yeah, it's not exactly what the best that it could be coming from a PlayStation company.
Yeah. On to other news. Somebody leaked out a tweet from Russia that Mass Effect 3 is headed to the PS3, which is great because it's another RPG that we can play. So, yeah.
It was only on the PC before, right?
PC and 360.
Really cool PS3 player then.
It's always, I mean, obviously for PS3 owners, it's always a good deal. I mean, to have something come on the PS3, but I think most people, if they really wanted to play it, they probably would have bought it for PC already.
True.
I guess that wraps it up for Mass Effect 3 for us. Kyo123 in our chat says Mass Effect 2 is coming to the PS3 next year, but I'd rather have games like this ported to the system at the same time, like release on the same time as other systems to give it a smoother release, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the only way. I mean, first of all, it's just better. It's more selection for the gamer. And secondly, I mean, you know, you don't have right now. I mean, Mass Effect 3 coming to PS3 is not. It's not. I mean, it's at a disadvantage. People are not really. I don't think it's going to sell as well as it would if it came on whenever it was released for the other systems.
Yeah, I think Mass Effect 2 was released earlier this year, if I remember correctly.
I'm not sure, actually.
I think it was early this year or late last year that Mass Effect 2 was released. Mm. Kayo123 in the chat room confirms that it was early this year. So, yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next topic, which is Nintendo is actually going to localize some games that never made it to North America and Europe to extend the DS lifespan and keep the large user base that they have now more active. And, yeah, love to see a lot more of the games come over to North America because it's... we're under-supported with some of the games that don't make it here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, more selection is always better. But at the same time, I don't think... I mean, I think this is, as you said, it's only good for kind of supporting the people. I don't think it's going to motivate anyone to purchase a DS right now. I think DS sales are you know, really hard to make right now because everybody is pretty much saving up for the 3DS. Or every gamer that knows what's going on is saving up for 3DS instead of buying like a DSi or a DSi XL or whatever.
Yeah, or the Lite.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, on the topic of bring over unreleased games, bring Mother 2 or what? Like bring Mother over, like Earthbound.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
We don't have. Too bad that they didn't release it. Yeah,
they did release one or two Earthbound, but somebody actually did a fan translation of it and got it over to Nintendo and said, no, we're not touching this kind of deal. So yeah, I'd like them to do something about the series to bring it over here.
Yeah, it kind of sucks to be us.
On the topic of localizing games, the 3DS is actually getting more support, or at least interest, from third-party developers than the original DS, including Hollywood. So it's good that it's getting support, so we'll see more games out here, even games that might not make it over here that do in Japan, especially like the niche titles, because there's a lot of niche games that I'd like to see over here that don't even see the light of day out of Japan. Anything for you guys?
Not really.
Sorry, I just lagged out for a second.
Yeah, the 3DS is getting more support from third-party developers than the DS did, so I'm hoping that they bring over some niche titles over to North America.
Well, okay, I'm reading this right now. It's good that they're getting interested, and I know it's an issue with making games for the 3DS because it costs a lot more money than it did to make a DS game. So, I mean, I think developers are thinking twice before they jump on board.
Yeah, because they say it can get pretty expensive.
Yeah, I mean, so it's good that they're showing interest because I was afraid that, you know, a lot of developers would shy away from it and, you know, go on to, like, making, you know, console games where you probably make more money if all else being equal.
Yeah, it's because it's cheaper to make a handheld game than it is to make a console game, traditionally at least. I guess we'll move on to the next thing is this Mama series is expanding, and there's actually a crafting Mama game for the DS, and there's a babysitting Mama for the Wii now that just came out.
That's pretty hilarious.
I know. I walked into Walmart this week and was like, what the flip is this? Like, babysitting Mama? I have no idea what's happening to the world now.
And I honestly don't know who is going to actually buy that game.
Well, it's good that they, you know, expanded.
Let's see.
So-called series, but...
Yeah, crafting Mama, I can see where what I can do, but babysitting Mama, what has this world come to?
Look, I mean... Get that out of the out of the way first. It was, you know, it was definitely a top-notch game, whether it's on the Wii or the DS. It was just fun, right? But, like, they're kind of just overdoing it. I mean, the Mama series, I think it's going to lose its novelty real fast, and you're going to be seeing these titles in the bargain bin real soon.
Yeah. I can already see not crafting Mama, but at least babysitting Mama going into the bargain bin within like the next 2 months, guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's just crazy. It's like dishwashing Mama, or like I don't know, like floor sweeping Mama. I mean, like, there's just, it just doesn't make sense why they're making games that are just, I mean, it's really boring.
Yeah.
Not to say the game is actually boring. I haven't played it, right? But I'm just saying, like, it sounds boring. And if it sounds...
Yeah, it's just kind of out there for us, at least. At least for the core market, at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, the average person, I mean, if you go into a store and you see, like, Call of Duty Black Ops with, like, guns and missiles and everything, and then you see, like, Babysitting Mama, what are you going to buy, right? Like, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious for most of us. If it does come into my household, I am going to poke my eye out, literally.
No, I mean, the name isn't even, like, it's just not, like, you have names like Assassin's Creed. I mean, like that just sounds dangerous. Now you have, like, Crafting Mama. I mean, that just doesn't, it's not the same thing.
Well, that's probably trying to reach a different audience than the mainstream gamer. Like, kids.
Maybe, and, like, housewives?
Like,
I mean, kids. I don't know.
I'll pick up Cooking Mama any day over, like, Babysitting Mama. Like, it has that stigma that it's, like, beyond shovelware.
Yeah, it's so shitty that you want to pick it up for novelty.
No, I like, between shovelware and Babysitting Mama, I'll take the shovelware any day at the moment, right now.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, overall, I just, you know, this is a really bad idea. I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do with this.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to the next thing, or we're going to waste way too much topic on this.
Yeah.
The next thing is the Virtual Boy content could possibly see the light of day on the 3DS. Which could be good. They could add color to it, like, put the word new in front of it and use that as marketing. Because there were a few game sets that did pretty well on the Virtual Boy, considering the Virtual Boy kind of bombed back in the day.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. It's going to be a small addition to the grand scheme of things, to the grand collection of 3DS games that's to come. I don't really see how it's going to make a significant difference. It's just, yeah, it's good that it's there, but it's not going to be mind-blowing.
Well, it's old game. We all seen it before. If it didn't make a huge difference back then, it's not going to make any much of a difference now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree
because,
completely.
Virtual Boy was had a bit of a bad timing because it was coming out when I think one of the generation cycles was just ending, so it kind of died because of the timing that came out.
Yeah, well, made PS2 games and like converted them all to PS3. That probably would sell better than if by doing Virtual Boy, because like PS2 has an awesome collection. So, I mean, like, Virtual Boy, you're taking something that's not awesome and you're trying to make it awesome by putting it on the 3DS. That's just, I don't know, you can try, but, you know, you're going to have to convince a whole lot of people that didn't like the game to like the game suddenly.
I think the thing that didn't really fly with the Virtual Boy was that it was all red. Like, the pixels were all red and it gave people headaches.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's either that or black, right? So back then, that was what it was.
It's like, all you had for pixels was red, and it's like...
Well, let's just say that's not a really great idea to have.
Yeah. It's like, I've heard people, like, getting headaches and couldn't play for, like, anything more than, like, 20 or 30 minutes or something straight or something like that before they had to stop. On to other news. It's kind of sad that actually the head writer of the original Pokemon series, Takeshi Ishido, has recently passed away. Tear. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, you're definitely losing a legend right there.
Yeah, childhood and, memories.
Know, Pokemon is awesome. I don't care what people say. Pokemon is awesome. Even with, like, you know, the 360 billion Pokemon they have now, it's still awesome.
Yeah,
well, Pokemon, everybody loved Pokemon once in their lifetime. Like, come on.
Yeah, yeah, at one point or another, or like for always, forever. I mean, you're going to have some obsession with Pokemon.
Yes, some point during our lives, like, we grew up during the classic Red and Blue days, and also Gold, Silver, and, like, Crystal. Like, the first two generations of Pokemon, we pretty much grew up on that stuff.
And that was the best stuff, because that was the original story. That was their best stuff that they came out with, not some generic story that they're spinning right now.
Yeah, the first two generations were the best out there. After that, it's kind of being plateaued off already.
Yeah, it's plateaued, but you know, it's kind of like, you know, they're making it for a new generation. I mean, like, the kids growing up now are, like, following the stories, and, you know, I mean, it's kind of made for them, so I can understand why.
Yeah.
Well, then they're just trying to reach a new audience, but then they would lose the old ones.
It's okay. I'll just keep with my Blue and Red. I'll just watch my traditional Pokemon, like, back in the day, 151.
Yeah. I can't forget Mew in that 151.
Oh man, that's so hard to catch. Yeah, you have to save your Master Ball for it.
No, Mewtwo at least. Mew was actually glitch. It was a glitch. Yeah. Mew was a glitch for Red and Blue. You couldn't catch it in the regular loop.
Yeah, I remember that. Although I cheated because I had, like, I got my Master Ball and I duplicated it to, like, a million Master Balls.
that item cheat, right, with Missing No?
Yeah, on that island where you'd surf up and down.
Yeah. All of us does it.
Yeah, it's like, go over to Viridian, talk to the old man, and then go over to the island, surf on the right coast. Make sure
and everybody surfed on their Blastoise if they started.
Yeah, or if they didn't, they use Lapras or something.
Yeah, it was any Pokemon with Surf, yeah, right?
Any Pokemon with Surf, and then you bump into, like, a Missing No, you can either catch it or, like, escape from the battle or whatever, and you'll have, like, 100 of those, that item that you duplicated. I think it was, like, the fifth or the sixth slot.
Yeah, I forgot, but yeah, that was awesome. I used that for Master Balls and Rare Candies.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to the next topic, which is Pokemon related as well. Is Pokemon Black and White starters have American names, which is Snivy, Tepig, and Oshawott. And the region name is called Unova, and it's a play on the United States of America, which is UN from United and O from the off, and first letter from America.
And the V that they just didn't care about.
Yeah. Like, the V, it's OV, which sounds like of. So that's kind of a play.
Yeah, no, I get it. But, you know, it's kind of, I don't know. It's a little too ghetto for Pokemon. I mean, like Pokemon's supposed to be, like, legit stuff. I don't like what they're doing here. And frankly, I'm not really going to follow any of the newer Pokemons.
Yeah,
like, the original is always the best, but now it's just, you know, you can't follow the story anymore. It doesn't make really much sense.
It's like the same story as before. Yeah.
Yeah, just go to gym, beat whatever, and
yeah, it's basically the same structure, like build a good team, beat all eight gyms, beat the Elite Four, and then repeat cycle.
Yeah, pretty
really,
much.
They should try to make like a grand ending of sort, not just continue on, because if you just keep doing the same thing over and over, you're just gonna kill it.
Or possibly like combine all three regions, like how many regions they have now, into one massive game to like finish off a series at least.
Yeah, true. If it was possible.
It is possible with the 3DS. They have like 1.5 gigabyte cards right now. Or an MMO Pokemon game somehow, even though it's highly unlikely.
That would be crazy.
Nice.
That's like a World of Warcraft, except it's like World of Pokemon.
They should do that like on the Wii or something.
Oh my god, that would be crazy. That would actually, I might actually play that.
It's like, screw World of Warcraft. Take World of Pokemon. Must catch them all.
It'd be actually pretty cool, like, you know, running around with Pokeballs and trying to catch Pokemon.
Or play as a Pokemon yourself.
Oh, that would be horrible. Like, they would just, you get trapped inside a ball.
Shit. You're right about that.
Spend like 23 hours inside a ball, and then like when you come out, you have to fight.
Well, maybe the point of the game would be not to get captured. How about that?
Yeah, okay.
That would be pretty hilarious, so if they did something like that. And hopefully we actually do something like that anyways.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, we got to move on to our next topic, which is Nintendo is making its first appearance at CES this coming January. It's their first appearance in 16 years, actually. But they won't have a booth, but they've booked out some meeting space. And they've confirmed that they will not be showcasing any current or new hardware during the show or making any announcements. Which is kind of weird.
So what are they doing?
I have no clue. They just said...
That's pathetic. That's pathetic.
Well, how come they didn't go to it for like 16 years? Like, come on. What?
I have no flipping clue what's wrong with Nintendo this time. They have like new hardware to announce to the North American market anyways. Like, release date and pricing we don't have for North America. So it would make sense that... Yeah, it makes sense that they announced something during CES in January, like 2 months before it's released here. It would make sense for them to say something then.
It wouldn't do them any harm. They only can gain from like setting up something.
It's free advertising.
Yeah, it's free advertising. Yeah,
so,
plus, they're already there to begin with anyways.
I don't know what they're doing, but I mean, frankly, I don't really care, because I think most of us know what's coming in the next year anyways, right? So
yeah,
it's already been said and done, so, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But I think, you know, you can repeat it for CES, and if they made any changes to the 3DS or if they have a price announcement, I'd be interested in that. Otherwise, I kind of know, like, okay, we're not getting a Wii next year and we're getting a 3DS. That's kind of how it's going to work.
Yeah, which brings us to our next story, which is the Wii Shop Channel and the DSi Shop Channel is bringing back limited time demos of games, so which is what they should have done in the first place, even though they've done it in previous games. I think like 2 years ago or something like that, they had demos on the Wii Shop Channel. It's a little too late in the console cycle, at least.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's getting late for the Wii, and it's in its... I don't know. I guess you could say that by doing this, they're just trying to encourage people to buy as many Wii games as possible before, you know, it goes out. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I think if they did it in the beginning, it would have made a huge impact rather than now.
Yeah. Right. Talking about huge impact, that they're actually Reggie from Nintendo of America says there isn't any Wii for Christmas 2011, but they do want to sell another 15 million units in the States itself before talking about the next gen console for the successor for the Wii right now.
How many people are there in the United States?
It's around 300 something million right now. There's about
they want to sell another
15.
Okay, that's possible, I guess.
Yeah, there's 30.4 million units that are already sold in the States right now. So there's about one Wii for every 10 people, which is it's not bad.
And this says before. Okay, well, I mean, okay, look at it this way. How long has the Wii been out for?
Just it's shy of
4 years,
actually,
right?
Actually, 4 years. 4 years.
Exactly. Almost 4 years. Okay, so
it's pretty much four years exactly.
In 4 years, it had 30.4 million. With the first 2 years, which were people trying to get their hands on a Wii, it was crazy. So, I mean, they were selling at maximal levels, right?
Yeah.
And now, so then in the last 2 years, I mean, I'm sure we had like probably 20.
Yeah.
Off. So for them to sell another 15 million Wiis. It'll be like another 10 years. I mean, that's not reasonable. People that want Wiis already have them, right? So unless the Wiis break down and people have to replace them, or like unless, you know, they come up with a special edition Wiis, it's going to be really hard to push another 15. I mean,
if that's the case,
it literally might be 10 years. I'm not kidding. Like, that's very possible.
I think it's possible that they can push it that many units in like the next year and a half to 2 years for sure.
It would have to be a huge price drop. They would have to drop it to like $100.
I think they're probably they're not going to price drop anytime soon. But give it like 9 months. I think they're going to drop it like $30 or something like that in the next 9 months for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, Black dates somewhere, they had it going for like 170.
Yeah, like regular price I'm talking about. Like, drop another 30, 40 bucks.
Yeah,
I think they can push that.
I mean, I guess the only way they could really do it is by, you know, going with an aggressive price strategy and competing with, you know, the Xbox in the price range category. I'm not saying they're the same consoles, you know, but the price anyways.
Yeah.
The price they can compete with, but with the content, power, the graphic, they can't compete with other console.
Like horsepower, yes, but yeah. Hardware, they're actually doing pretty well. Like in the last year, they've had some pretty strong showings for software, like Super Mario Galaxy 2, Donkey Kong Country Returns, GoldenEye 007, Kirby's Epic Yarn, Epic Mickey, and Mario All-Stars is coming out for it as well. And it's doing pretty awesome.
Well, true, but that's not going to push new buyer to go and get the Wii.
Yeah, it depends, really. I guess we'll move on to our next topic, which is there's a possibility of seeing Wii Music 2, which isn't great in my opinion. And Final Fantasy characters are to appear in Mario Sports Mix, which is coming out next year.
Well, we sort of all seen it coming, didn't we? Like, Final Fantasy characters made it. Like into other game before, not just one or two.
It was kind of a deal.
A lot.
We have characters coming in from everywhere.
Yeah,
but
the main reason why that there are Final Fantasy characters coming on board is Square Enix is working on Mario Sports Mix as well, alongside Nintendo.
Yeah, I always like when they have, you know, like character crossovers. I think it's just really cool to see like characters being put in a different spotlight. It's really neat. which is one of the reasons why, like, I really like Smash Brothers, because it's like, it's crazy. It's, yeah. It has everything and everyone.
Like, you've got, like, most of the big franchises from Nintendo, and with Brawl, finally they have, like, third-party characters like Sonic and Solid Snake as well, which is great. And I guess we'll move on to our next thing is third-party stuff, which is Angry Birds is making its way to Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, and the Wii. It's one of the few times that phone game is making its way to its console counterparts. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how it's really going to do, because phone games are generally mini games, and when you try to sell them for, like, consoles and stuff, it's just going to look disappointing, right? I mean, it might disappoint a lot of people, just put it that way.
Talking about disappointment, Nintendo's Powerline service, which is basically a paid or free tips to gamers, has shut down since June 1st of this year. So, yeah.
Like, why? How come it's news now?
It makes more news in its death than
when it was active.
It's nearly 6 months.
I know. I didn't come across this topic until, like, recently.
I didn't even know what Powerline was.
Yeah. It was apparently active for, like, 20-something years, since, like, the NES days.
It's 25 years.
Yeah, but, like, nobody knew about it, especially in the newer generations.
Yeah, I never even heard about this. I knew they, like, what is that, like, customer support?
Yeah, it's not customer support. It's, like, a tip line for games.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of the
same. Yeah, but now you have, the internet.
Yeah.
Who calls and wait.
Exactly.
To tell them what to do.
Yeah, I totally.
Like, the internet killed it off. That's probably why, like, they're cutting the service off. It's like, it's not really used that much by people anymore.
Yeah, the internet killed a lot of things, man.
Yeah, but it's funny how, like, nobody noticed it until, you know.
Then everybody notices.
Like, six months after.
When it dies, everyone notices.
6 months later.
Except this.
Yeah, and Nintendo is actually working with Mistwalker Studio to release The Last Story, which is a RPG with which is an option you can play with 6 players online. And there's a Wii bundle right now going for 25,800 yen. So somewhere in the $300 ballpark right now as well.
Yeah, just for those that are not wary of what the conversion rates are.
Yeah, it's like $320, $350 bucks-ish.
Just about.
And yeah, it's bundled with a game and a Classic Controller Pro. And of course, Wiimote and Nunchuck. And the first run of the game will include a visual book and a soundtrack CD, which is kind of nice.
It's kind of expensive, too.
Well, like, the first run of the game, not just the bundle.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I still think it's, you know, the pricing is...
It's a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 26,000 yen is for the bundle. For the console, the Classic Controller Pro, and the game.
I don't know. It's all right, but I'd still get the Red Wii. You know, the
limited edition.
Yeah, that one is baller. It's regular price, and it has it comes with a game. It comes with a wicked game.
And
well,
Red
most of us not gonna buy the bundle. Most of us would just like to get the game to play.
Yeah. Plus, most of us already have the Wii to begin with, so spending another $200 on it is, unless you have it hacked and you want to keep one virgin console there to play regular games. Yeah, I guess we'll move on to, I think, which is our last topic of the day, which is Donkey Kong Country Returns is back, And yep, it's unlike Donkey Kong, because it's freaking awesome from what I've heard. Like,
well, I've seen a couple of videos, and yeah, it looks very old school. Let's just say that.
Yeah, they drew inspiration from the original Donkey Kong Country games, like the side-scrolling, the banana collecting, and there's some new elements like world, like there's worlds and you have side worlds that you can go through, which are a lot harder than the regular worlds. And then you can collect like pieces of coins and stuff to spend in a shop for like extra lives, like items and stuff like that as well.
Well, just for people that, you know, I mean, none of us have actually gotten our hands on it just yet, but Alex is supposed to be here today. He's not, so he's going to update us on the next cast, so look forward to that. He's going to give us a full review.
Yeah, he says he's pretty close to finishing the game. He got tied up at work, actually, today, and I have no idea where he is right now, so, yeah.
Oh, he'll update us next time.
Yeah, I guess that kind of wraps up what we have for the show notes. Are there any other topics you guys want to go through?
No, I'm good.
No.
How about the chat? Any questions as well? I guess there aren't anything... I guess that wraps it up for our podcast today. So you can follow us on Twitter at broken_fuse. So I guess we'll see you guys in the chat room in about a week's time. So yeah. We'll
see you guys later.
See ya.
Bye.